Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas, and thank God, what a beautiful and wonderful time, great occasion for us to be able to come together, put aside some of the things that are going on and difficulties that everybody is faced with in the world these days, and to bring our focus where it belongs on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, especially at this time when we remember the birth of the Christ child into the world. One of my favorite books in the scriptures is that of Sirach. A lot of down-to-earth, straightforward wisdom. He didn't waste any words. He came right to the point and always had a good point to make. I'm mentioning that because I want to make a recommendation before I share some reflections with you. My recommendation would be, do yourself a big favor in wanting to learn more about family in general, relationships, the Holy Family. Take a look at that first reading again that we heard from Sirach. There is such great help and wisdom and kind of simplicity to help us to really put together sometimes the things that we need to put together, depending on the various circumstances that we can be faced with in all relationships, but particularly in family relationships. In this case, however, considering the Holy Family, from Paul's letter today, we hear, clothe yourselves. We could also put it to say, put on love, clothe yourself in love. So, for example, one of the ways that we can maybe help to bring that idea and that thought to mind, to help us to really walk around clothed with the Lord present in our heart, is to consider when you're getting ready in the morning, for example, to put on love, put on the garment of love. Get dressed in your garment of the Lord, the garment of love. Put on Christ. Put on the cloth of Christ. So that as we walk through our day, doing whatever we have to do under the circumstances of our lives, but that inward, in our heart, in our soul, in our spirit, we can be focused on and moving forward in the Lord. So that whatever we do, whatever circumstances we come up with, whether it's a good time of joy or happiness or some difficulty we need to deal with, that we always have that part of our being, that divine, that divinity within us, focusing on the Lord, seeking always the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so in this case, certainly when we consider the whole idea of family, certainly everyone here knows that family life is a combination of happiness and sadness. There are good things that happen and some tough things that can happen as well. Also with a lot of ordinary in between the ups and the downs, there's a lot of ordinary stuff going on. Sometimes it's a little bit monotonous, sometimes it's a little bit boring, but that's all part of life. Each of those, the before, the after, the in-between, it's all part of who we are as human beings. The beauty of it, however, is that we have absolutely everything that we need to live our lives according to God's will. It's not only that we have everything that we need, but we have the one whom we need to help us to move through life's difficulties, through life's joys and pains and the good times as well. But now, what about the Holy Family for a moment? Because certainly that's the reflection today that we're looking at. That's the focus. Surely there was nothing but peace and happiness within the Holy Family, one would think. But again, when we look at the story in its depth, we see, well, not really. Can you imagine Mary hearing what Simeon had to say to her, including how your soul will be pierced with a sword? Ouch. Can you imagine what kind of joy or strength can someone possibly draw from that when she's thinking about the fact of the child and the child being born, to have to focus on some of the reality of what this child is going to be faced with as he grows up into life? And so certainly for them, like us, life wasn't always a bed of roses for them. For example, we can remember Joseph's initial plan to divorce Mary. When they found out that she was pregnant, Joseph at that point didn't have too much to go on except the fact that he thought, well, out of his love for her and to protect her from the shame when her pregnancy was discovered, that perhaps they'd better just kind of put an end to all of it that right now so that it won't be a problem after. Or Mary having to give birth in a stable. Can you imagine this mother pregnant with this child that she's been carrying for 9 months? And now when that great moment, that moment of great blessing comes, where are they? They're faced in having to bear this child and to bring him forth into the world into a bed of hay. Certainly there would have been certain smells going along with that where they were in the stable, and it wouldn't probably not have been the cleanest place in the whole world. But there was no room for them in the inn. So this was the beginning of this child, Jesus, the one who would grow to be our Lord, our Savior, our rock, our refuge. At that time, another one of the problems that people had, they knew of the promise of the Messiah that was to come. But more than likely, their concept of the Messiah would be someone coming in on a white charger with sword in hand, slaying all of their enemies. And yet here comes this little child. This is the Savior. This is the one who is going to bring us through everything and teach us through everything and make the way back to the Father possible for us. But how can this be? And so again, there's a lot of quandary that can go on in our lives. So certainly they were faced with all of these occasions, and no doubt many more than we could ever want, know, hope for, or imagine that they would have had to go through. Consider the journey when Mary was pregnant. Now, you know, riding a horse can be rough enough on its own. Riding a donkey can be a lot worse than that. But if you're pregnant, just about to bear a child at any moment, I think riding a donkey for miles and miles would be a little more difficult than any of the rest of it. And yet, that's the way they live. That's what they had to deal with at that particular time. So we know that there must have been something going on in their lives, something very special, some strength, some way that they were able to cope with and move forward under the difficulties that they were faced with and what Mary found out might happen later for the child that she was about to bear. And so in similar circumstances, let's face it, we certainly would have felt tempted to wish for an easier life. Even now, I'm sure more often than not, you know, when the virus started, you get to a point where this is a tough thing. It's a terrible thing. People are getting sick. They're dying. But soon it'll be over. And then it went on for longer and longer. And we could still cope with it to some degree. But then it went on longer and longer. Still, we could cope with it a little bit. We could maybe make it, say, from here to where the tabernacle is. But to consider that we might have to go farther than that, maybe it was just a little bit too much. And so we got to a point where the struggle became more, dealing with the stress, dealing with all of what was going on, what we were hearing in the news, what's been happening in our families, other people's families, people that we love, people that we've lost. You figure, good Lord, please give us a break. Put an end to this now. And yet we're told it's still going to be some time before we can come to a point where we kick back. And even now they're talking about how, you know, even with the vaccinations coming, that once you get it, you can't go about, oh, well, everything is okay now. We're still going to have to be careful and be cautious. And so it can be difficult to move through times like that. More difficult if we forget who we are. And who we are is we are children of God. And so whatever Mary and Joseph and Jesus thought about their struggles, just as we and what we think about our struggles, but for them, no matter what they were faced with and what they might have thought about their struggles, one thing is very absolutely clear. They never gave up. They continued. They pursued all the time, sharing their faith, sharing their love, sharing in the journey and sharing in the pain. In their faithfulness and in their trust, and even more so in their commitment to love one another, they show us also how to weather the storms of life. Love. That's what makes a holy family. That's what made the Holy Family particularly holy, because they gave birth to love into creation. It's not the sentimental love of songs and movies, but rather the strong, relentless, steadfast love of God. God's faithfulness. I will never abandon you. I will never leave you orphan. You will never be alone. I am with you always, right here, right now, 2020 and 21 and beyond. And so the divine love that the Spirit pours into our hearts, that's where we turn for our strength and our refuge. That divine love is Jesus, the one who loves us, the one who gave his life for us, and continues in various ways, if we could say, even in a spiritual realm, suffers along with us. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, we are told that he sweat blood. Some of the theologians teach us that one of the reasons why Jesus sweat so profusely the blood in Gethsemane was that he knew how hard it would be for us and how long it would last. And so for some of us, it's lasted maybe 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. Some people are living to 100 and more years. And so this selfless love, it's a selfless love that bears all things, that hopes all things, and that forgives all things. The pure love of a God who became one of us and died to save us. Again, in a human context and in our own human lives, things change as we get older, not only for ourselves, but those who have come before us, including our parents, of course. They're getting older as we also are getting older. And we hear in the readings today how Paul says, even if somebody, he didn't use the term as we would use it today to talk about any, you know, mental deficiencies or mental decline that we see people going through, including when it's our parents, it can be very difficult to deal with these situations. My mother, God bless her, died in 2013. She made it to the age of 96. Well, now, of course, as she was getting older, so was I. The reason I'm saying this is that it came to a point in our relationship as mother and son, as difficult as that relationship can be sometimes, it's also filled with a lot of joy, a lot of great love, a lot of good times, and a lot of happy times. But at the point when my mother was getting into her 60s and 70s, I myself was getting into my 30s and 40s, where you can be, you know, kind of all wrapped up in what you're doing and so on and so forth. And one day, as my mom was getting more and more into her 70s and growing more, getting into the 80s, and at that point, I'm getting more into my 40s and 50s, and we were talking about something one day that all of a sudden created a little bit of a conflict, but nothing, you know, really serious. But as we got into it, and I was trying to convince her of a certain way, and I began to realize at that moment in the conversation with her, by the grace of God, I thought to myself, it was like the thought that came was, Lou, this lady now and you are in a different relationship now. It's not the same as the way you were in relationship for the past 40 or 50 years, but it's changed now. She's older, and so are you. And so the way that we had been used to communicating with one another and maybe sharing our thoughts and having a discussion about it, that no longer applied now at this particular time. When I recognized that, I thought, okay, well, what do I do now? You know, is there any point in my trying to insist that this will be better for you, Mom? Why don't you try it this way? And I realized the best thing was, given where she is, it's up to me to change. That, I think, was more of a grace for me than it was for her. Because beyond that point, whenever we got into one of those situations and she was maybe getting a little bit upset or a little bit impatient, she was always complaining about something, especially taxes. And I said to her, I said, you know, Ma, you're always complaining about it. And she said, I'm not complaining, it's a statement of fact. And I thought to myself, good for you, lady, because it's true. She was making a statement, you know, so I had to shift my thinking. And then it became, okay, Ma, all right, Ma, that's fine, Ma. I understand, Ma. What would you like to do? What would make you most happy? It took such a weight off my shoulder that hopefully at that point I was able to become a more loving son, to be more concerned about her and what she needed and not so much about what I thought that she needed. I know that's a little bit of a sidetrack, but I suppose I wanted to share that with you because, you know, given Holy Family, and I've been thinking a lot about my mom lately and the fact that she died at the ripe old age of 93, I miss her a lot, especially at this time of year when I can't even be in touch with various members of my family. And so no family has a perfect life. Every family faces hardships of one sort or another. However, every family also has a Heavenly Father, one who loves us, delights in teaching us how to love one another. And so as we consider that aspect of loving one another, consider this. What is a family? The family is a jewel, a rich gem of God's creation. Our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a family. Just as individual humans are made in the image and likeness of God, so is the human family. Our family is an image of the family of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we can turn to the Holy Family for help. In Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we see here the reality of the human family as God has intended it to be. Not just as sometimes it is, but as it was intended to be. We see the human family in that way. Their home was incorrupted by sin, uncorrupted by sin. And for 30 years, Jesus lived in this setting. Contemplate the harmony, the warmth, and the love in their household. Meditate on how selfless, patient, gentle, and kind they were with each other. Imagine the peace and the joy in the home of the Holy Family, along with the difficulties and along with the ups and the downs. You know, when it came time for Jesus to make the biggest decision of his life to go to the cross, I don't think that that was a decision he had to make only at that moment. But because of the family situation that he grew up in, he would have learned already at the feet of his mother and foster father how to live life, how to pray when you're about to do something or thinking about something, and how to love one another, and how to make good decisions out of a life of prayer. So that it was all these moments when Jesus had to make these decisions throughout his life, making his decisions the way he would have learned from Mary and Joseph. And when that big moment came when the Father said, "My son Jesus, now is the time," he got things off his chest when he was in Gethsemane. He says, "Please take this cup away. I can't take this anymore." And when he came to the end of that, he said, "And yet thy will be done." He had learned how to make the big decisions through the small ones he had to make throughout his life. And he learned that in the Holy Family. And so if there is pain, anger, or discord in your own family, don't lose heart, dear sisters and brothers. Don't give up. Call upon Jesus. Call upon Mary and Joseph, because they will bring healing, forgiveness, and peace into the situation. If you feel discouraged by the apparent demise of the family in our society, when we see what's going on in some families and how they're being treated by others, do not be afraid. Pray to the Holy Family. Remember God's solemn promise, "The gates of hell shall not prevail." And like the COVID, this too shall pass. It shall pass at the time, for however that's going to work, that God has chosen that we should be set free from that terrible disease. In Sirach, just to share with you just a little bit from today's reading in Sirach, it teaches us this. Whoever respects their mother is like one who lays up treasure. The person who honors their father will have joy in their own children. And here's the clincher. When they pray, they will be heard. That's the power of the effect of the love that we can have for our parents, and living and demonstrating that love, that's the power of it, that we will be heard. when we come before the Lord in prayer. And so finally, dear sisters and brothers, so then let us, on this particular feast of the Holy Family, let us pray for our families, of course, especially our own family, but also the family of our community, particularly this community here and all of the good things that the Lord has in store for us and all of what the Lord has done for us already through Father Mike and the people that have come forward to help to serve the community. And also for every family on earth, not only for ourselves, but for peace in the world, the peace that is meant by the Lord. May we all learn to put on love and to put it on now. Father, we pray and ask that you pour out your merciful healing love on each and every family here and now today. And for all of this, we give you thanks, praise, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ and the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.